have to have a basis of the philosophy, but should we really be delving more for the just to appreciate Krishna for being Krishna and his devotees?
Yeah, we should be. That's the goal. But the difference is that the philosophy that we do here is it's to help us in bhakti. I have a similar question to what you're asking that I wrote, that we note in these chapters, the 10th canto, in the purports, the acharyas often discuss very intricate philosophical and psychological points about the pastimes. And yet, Lord Chaitanya was not impressed by the scholarship of Vallabha Acharya. So what should our attitude be towards Vaishnava scholarship in the commentaries? Is it essential to our faith? So it must be, or else they wouldn't have given it. But there does come a stage when, well, like the residents of Vrindavan, as you say, they're not so much interested in commentaries. But we're not on that level. We can't be there artificially. So therefore, as I said earlier, we get both the pastime and then the philosophy. They're both meant for us. Just like, I mean, we whatever diet or balance is given, that's like the right, so we should take it all. We shouldn't just take some of it and reject it. We'll hear later in the 13th chapter, like one of the most nectarine chapters, where Brahma steals the cows, and then Krishna expands into all the calves and all the boys, and the mothers love them more than they love their own children. It's just the chapter is just spilling over with love. And then the next chapter is Brahma's philosophical prayers. And it's just like you say, just the opposite. It's just talking philosophy, no action. But so we're meant to take, we're meant to have both, and find it nectarine, actually. So we need both, or we may have, just like with the diet, even if like there's something that you really like, sweets, if you just keep eating sweets, something's going to go wrong. So we need it both. Vaishnava philosophy, anyway. But we can appreciate how we love to hear how they, the gopis especially, how they don't like to be spoken to philosophically by Krishna.
And for us, it is like a danger of becoming a sahaji.
Yeah. Did you have a question? You gave me.
I
should give it to me later.
Right. It's kind of in the same theme as well. Well, one point is that answering, also what Trigorasunda said, that we don't practice our rasas in this lifetime. We're here to serve, and then we have our rasa given to us later on. And also, the Bhagavatam, the lead up to the 10th canto, is to train us to see Krishna as not being an ordinary person, as to see him as being God. But I was wondering, would it be presumptuous for us to talk to Krishna as a friend or as a lover, to see him in that way, as well as offering prayers to him? We have that side of our service, but can we also relate, like during our day-to-day dealings, can we think that we've got Krishna as our friend, is there?
Well, Krishna as the friend, that's advised even in the Bhagavad Gita. He's everybody's friend, and Prabhupada says he's your best friend. Make Krishna your friend. So, Suradam, Sarvabhutanam, I'm everybody's best friend. I'm the super soul, he's the friend in the heart, friendly bird, waiting for us to turn to him. So, even if we consider God as the supreme guide, He's the best friend too, and I think that's certainly permissible. That's not like the cowherd boyfriends; they don't have any reverence in their friendship. But like even the guru is a friend, and the father is a friend, and so God is a friend, and you can pray to him. It's in an intimate way, but it's a God is a friend also. But like with the, with like Sridham and Stoka Krishna, it's not that he's God, he's just, he's the friend though. And you could say God, Krishna, in the sense that you're describing, he's the, he's our beloved. But if you get, if you get into it very much, then you, then you would have to have a realization of rasa, to actually think of Krishna as your husband. If it, like you're saying, in the day, can we think? If during the day you're all the time thinking of Krishna as your husband, well, that's great. And the, but that, to do that, you'd actually have to realize that relationship.
Yeah, on that, I was just reading the, one of the Prabhupada Nectar stories there, where mother, she asked Prabhupada about marriage and Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada said there is no marriage in Krishna consciousness, and this, that he wants to make the point that that we're all female in our relationship to Krishna, that Krishna is actually, we have our relationship with Krishna. Just a particular, because there are other quotes when he's talking about marriage and Krishna consciousness also, but he was making the point that we're, so that would seem that there is a, or is that like a warning for us not to become too attracted on the material level or something like that? Or?
Well, we can't take it as just a warning, and not, if he says that Krishna should be your husband, then there's some meaning to it. That one can think of Krishna as their husband. But to put your question in a general way, it's like saying, before we have realized our rasa, can we have some inkling or indication of those intimate relationships with Krishna? And I tend to think yes, as long as we always behave in a regulative way and don't indulge in any imaginative thing. Why can't it be possible to start to develop a devotional feeling towards Krishna in our thoughts? And like the Krishna deity that we have in our temple, we develop a feeling for him. To discourage that too much would seem to be not in the bhakti spirit. Say no affections, no love.
So many nice questions. If I don't answer your question right now, it doesn't mean that I don't consider it good. I can use it. A lot of them seem to be similar. There was one thing I wanted to bring up about hearing Krishna. About how it's a kind of like a magic spell. I touched on at the very beginning that we can be part of the audience. So we have our material activities, and which we mostly are, that's our normal consciousness. And if we can hear about Krishna really intensely, then it's like a spell of that becomes our reality. Krishna and Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva, and then that becomes reality. But usually it just exists fragilely for a little while, and then we go back to the other. But the pure devotees, they reversed it. The material world was like was the unreality comparatively, and they were mostly in the spell always of thinking about Krishna. Or they could easily revert to hearing about Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya, we always hear how he would lose external consciousness and just think, oh, I'm with Krishna now. And then he would just be gone to the surroundings, and some real live reciprocation with Krishna Leela was going on in him, and people didn't know what was happening with him. And even his devotees, like that the devotee Mukunda Dat, he saw a peacock feather and he fell from the platform. So I wrote down here, we don't want to endanger ourselves to fall into ecstasy while driving a car or spacing out while doing practical duties in the world, but we should grow in our ability to keep the Krishna spell within us as the true reality, sacred place where we aspire to go, that is to Krishna Loka, the world that we think of even while we do our duties in the world. We want to learn how to keep it within us, and at the same time, whenever we find like-minded souls, we should discuss Krishna Katha with them. Um, But it's hard because of all the pressing duties we have. I saw one purport that was written by Prabhupada's disciples in the 10th canto, and they quoted Sanatana Goswami. It comes at the end of the chapter. It says, anyone who regularly discusses Krishna Katha develops love of God. And they said, Sanatana Goswami said, anyone who even has an inclination to hear about Krishna will get the benefit. And then they said, this is an assuring point, because many devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, they feel that they can't listen to Krishna's katha to their heart's content because of their duties. But here he says that even if you have an inclination to do it, you're blessed. That was nice, but we should yearn for that, for being able to at least sometimes think of Krishna and hear about Krishna and get away from the other so-called reality, which is so overbearing. And there is a state where that becomes not as important. I know this is a constant inquiry by devotees when we have a class like this, and then they think, well, all these recommendations that we should always hear about Krishna, but how can we do it? Does anyone have any comments on that from their experience?
I recently had the experience from leaving the Boston temple. I was so involved, so every little detail was completely important all the time. So went to a new place, and was kind of leaving a whole life behind. And but what remains is in Krishna consciousness, and of course I go to a new place and take up new duties, but I got the, it made me think more about how, what remains is the Krishna consciousness. It's like, I thought, what will I do when I have to leave my body? Am I going to just be attached? Will I forget about mopping the floor and think about Krishna?
Yeah, even Krishna conscious duties. Like Maharaj Pariksit, he had all Krishna conscious duties, but he had to give them up and just hear about Krishna. Other things?
It seems that even among our devotee friends, our closer associates, to get together and discuss Krishna Katha and in such a way that you can really touch base in a substantial way, it seems very rare.
Yeah, like unless you have agreed to a formal situation that someone's going to speak and he's got the book and he's going to give a lecture and you're going to ask questions afterwards to talk about Krishna Katha, you have to be very desirous and have to say elevated in order to have a like-minded friend like that, where you actually would talk about Krishna Katha. One thing that to help that is to, since so much of it comes from the books, is you can sit down with a friend and just to guide yourselves, you can both read together or something like that, because the tendency so much will be otherwise to not talk about Krishna. You can help yourselves until you become like the six Goswamis, where among them, that's what the talk is about. So your point is, it's rare. It's a fact. It's very. I wrote in the beginning of that free verse rendition of Prabhupada's life that since you, nobody speaks Krishna Katha so spontaneously. Prabhupada was amazing that he
he didn't have to have a formal setting, that he would immediately start talking about Krishna without any necessary stimulation except his desire. But it's very rare to find people like that. But when it's there, then we should accept it. Sometimes, because we're not so well tuned, somebody may make an attempt, and just because the attempt is a little awkward, or we have something against that person, say, "Oh, what are you talking about, Krishna? You're trying to be a big devotee or something?" And somebody might just say, "Boy, Krishna is really beautiful the way he's," and you won't even like to hear it. Mm-hmm. But why? He's talking about Krishna.
Seems like if the attempt is really sincere on the part of both parties. I had a recent experience with another devotee where the relationship wasn't so close in general.
Yeah.
But because we were really making an attempt to discuss Krishna consciousness,
that's nice.
We found a new platform of exchange, which was really satisfying. Mm. I walked away feeling really fulfilled.
That's good. I thought you were going to say, and therefore we couldn't talk about Krishna.
That happens too.
Yeah, because say you owe me $50 and I keep asking you for it, you don't give it, then we meet again and you start talking about Krishna, I'm thinking, the problem is in the way, what's the matter, why aren't you going to do that, take care of that problem, you're just talking about Krishna to avoid. So that happens too, like you say, but it could be that we begin to think, well, and what's the $50? We can talk about Krishna also in the meantime. Well, because life is short. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that having the experience of similar to Mukhtavani again about being busy or being engaged in so many Krishna conscious duties, but without the Krishna katha there, I found myself, well, now I can see it because I also left that service and took up and used a different service. Mm. But I was becoming more calculating, or I was becoming more thinking that I was making the arrangements, I was planning, and therefore things were happening. Whereas now I realize how much more I am dependent on Krishna like that, or by hearing Krishna guitar, being in that different situation. It's the negative side of it. Without Krishna guitar, I was maybe even drifting away, just becoming too attached to my own decision-making process.
Mm. Well, Krishna katha has to be there. Either like we had the formal class of, in the temple or in your home, some formal class, and some time that you read as duty. And then if we're fortunate, we can, and we hope to, be able to actually socialize or family get-togethers and things like that they're also Krishna katha, but until that can happen we have to at least save designated time. Just one more. Yeah.
I was just going to say the thing that I think saves me are tapes. It's like when you're cooking dinner, you just put a tape on, you're in the balcony, put a tape on, you're driving in the car, you put a tape on, and
yeah.
It's like
Even when you can't read.
Yeah, because I don't have so much time to read anymore. So
nice. It's
like, but tapes are just as good. I have, the Bhagavad Gita on tape, and I have the Srimad Bhagavatam on tape now, and it's wonderful that there's so, and videos too, there's so many nice videos out, and I'm just real thankful for that medium, because that's really helping me out.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.